Get up, get out your seat. Live out your destiny. Get out and stomp your feet. Come on, let's put our hands together for Jesus in here. I know that's what people say, but I really mean it. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Come on. Man, God is so good. You can remain standing. If you want to sit, you can sit. But those of you who want to remain standing, just remain standing for a second. If your legs work, you can stand. I'm grateful to be here. I never take an invitation lightly ever because I'm one of those pastors that I don't really particularly like. I don't want to say like. I don't search or am I thirsty for itinerant ministry. I'm a pastor, so I like to be amongst the people that God has given me to lead and to shepherd. Whenever God calls and he gives me a release, I go and I know it's for a purpose and a reason. And so Dalte, for the past couple of years, because y'all know I was here last year, they invited me back. And you know when you get invited back, that's a good thing. But it's just so amazing. And Pastor Dean and Amy, like, just the vision that you guys have is just so big, and it's palpable, and you can just sense the love of God in it. So I just want to say God bless you all for allowing all of this to take place. Can we give God praise for the leaders here? That's good. That's good. I don't want to be before you long, but I'm a Baptist boy, and I be feeling real Baptist-y. Especially y'all doing communion on the first Sunday, and he starts singing about the blood. And I just be hearing stuff in my spirit like, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. I told you I grew up bad. This is two songs or not, but my favorite part of the blood song is, it reaches to the highest mountain. But for those of y'all who like me, you ain't never been on top of a mountain. You needed Jesus to come get you out of something. The next line is for you. And it flows to the West Valley, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose, it will never. I got the OGs with me today. It will never lose its power. Yeah. All right. Now we in there. I'm going to read, as you're standing, matter of fact, everybody get up. As you're standing, we're going to look at Mark chapter 9, 26 and 27. That's where I'm going to lift the subject from. We're gonna preach from 17 and 27. So 26 and 27 is where I'm gonna lift the subject from. And in Mark 9, we're gonna read in the New Living Translation. And I just think God has something to say to us today. Who agrees? He's always talking. And I think God is gonna bless us today. Let me go. I'm running out of time playing around. Mark 9, 26 and 27, put it up for him so we can read it together. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, what'd they say?
He's dead.
The text says the boy appeared to be dead. The crowd said, the text says the boy, the crowd looked at the situation and said what? But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet and he stood up. The boy appeared to be dead. The crowd said what? The text said the boy, the crowd said he's. I want to just talk to you just for a couple minutes from the subject. It's not what it looks like. I want you to tell somebody around you real quick before you sit down. Say, it's not what it looks like. Look at them and say, I know what the crowd is saying. But look at them and say, this time, it's not what it looks like. Be seated. I need to hear myself real good. I'm going to preach and get out y'all way. I can't. Y'all got two services. I can't take my time. Now you come to next service, I may take my time. If you've ever read this story, there are several things, if you look at it and analyze it, that will leap out at you. One of the things that captures my attention every time that I read through this particular Mark in text is that the fact that on the onset, it looks like it's going to be a complete failure of a situation. If you look at it, it looks like the disciples are losing. It looks like the situation is going to be disastrous, and chaotic. And it almost looks like not even Jesus will be able to bring order to it. But reading through this testimony from Mark, I think I can draw a textual conclusion and a thought. I think it's purposeful how the story builds in a way that at the beginning of it, it looks like the complete antithesis to the desired outcome. In the text, I want you to notice, and whenever you read the text, you let the text talk. You don't talk to the text. The text got to talk to you. So when you look at the text, you will see there are several lookers. This pericope purposefully presents to us several people in the position of looking. And in their looking, we are given access into what and how they're seeing. Several people looking. The disciples are looking. They see failure. The sick boy's father is looking and he sees defeat. The crowd is looking. They see death and controversy. And the text clearly states that the demon is looking and it sees opportunity. And then the text, through the pen of Mark and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, crescendos to Christ as he is looking. And the text says Jesus sees faithlessness. Disciples, the boy's father, y'all still with me? The crowd is looking, and through their looking, they're drawing conclusions based on what they see. But we're to understand via the text that there are things happening in places they can't see that will ultimately redraw their conclusions for them. Can I keep going? In the text, the word saw, S-A-W, is used 4 times. And it's incredible. It's as if the Holy Spirit wants us to pay attention to this reality. What you see and how you see what you see is not always thorough enough to draw a final conclusion. In other words, there are some situations that you don't know enough about in the spirit to believe the perceived outcome you see in the natural. Tell somebody, say, it's not what it looks like. Somebody is drawing conclusions about something they see in the natural, but you don't know enough about what's taking place in the spirit to have a final conclusion. So Jesus shows up. Let me get to the text. Jesus shows up with his 3 disciples. He's just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, where he unzips his flesh, shows his glory to James, Peter, and John. And he just comes down. The other 9 is down there trying to handle business. They tripping and they fighting with crowds of people, just fighting back and forth, arguing, probably cussing and everything. And Jesus is like, what is going on? And so here's the response. Let's look at Mark chapter 9, 17 and 18. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth, he grinds his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast, just picture how he's saying this. I asked your little disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." So hear the father's frustration. The frustration of the father was in the fact that the other 9 disciples couldn't heal his son. Now, here's another parenthetical. The shame of the text isn't the obstinance and the argumentative nature of the crowd. The shame of the text ain't even the frustration of the daddy. The shame of the text, if you really look at the text, is the faithlessness of the disciples. That's a shame. Why? Because the power was there, the faith wasn't. The power was there, the faith wasn't. So because the faith was absent, the power was dormant. And this is the representation of the church. Listen, how shameful is it that the entire world is hurting? The entire world is going crazy. The entire world is confused. And instead of tending to ministry, we using the little faith we have to argue with the crowd. Lean on somebody and say, I ain't got time to argue. It's too many people I'm connected to who need to hear about Jesus. I'm not about to use my Twitter thumbs and argue back and forth about to nobody about nothing. There's power and there needs to be faith. If Satan can keep you arguing with the crowds, he can keep the crowds from an encounter with Jesus. Somebody say, we need an encounter. So Jesus rebukes his disciples for not believing, then commands the boy to be brought to him. All that was my intro. Here's where I'm going. Mark 9, 19, 20. Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long," he's annoyed, "how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Yeah, bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, fell to the ground, writhing at the mouth and foaming at the mouth. So here's Jesus. Shows up to do something his disciples couldn't do. Jesus asked the daddy the situation. The daddy explained to him the situation, what happens to the boy over and over again. He explained it to him in great detail about what happens to the boy over and over again. This is a regular occurrence in the boy's life. This ain't nothing new. Now, I'm assuming this is the town where the boy's from, so everybody there knows this is what the little boy does. Can't play with him. I don't want him playing with my son. So every time he writhes and foams at the mouth and fall out, talking about a demon done seized him. I'm sick of little Johnny. We tired of it. Come get your son. Take him to a home or something. So the demon possession has become commonplace for him and his family, and for the people who knew his family. The text says, after the father, somebody say the text says.
The text says.
You got to know what the text says. The text says, after the father told Jesus about the issue, they brought the boy to Jesus. And the same thing that had always happened before Jesus showed up happened again. Same thing to the T. I'm sure the assumption was, here he go again. Here he go. I'm done. I'm done. Here he go. Same stuff every time. We can't even have a good time. We can't even kick it. We just coming up. Our family's just, you know, we just experiencing freedom. And here it goes again. It's happened again. There it is again. I'm sick of them. We can't even play with toys with them. Here we go. There we go with all that falling out stuff. But on the surface, even though the what looked the same, beneath the surface, this time the why was different. That's a spiritual principle. Look at the text. 19:20. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. Nowhere in the text does it say the boy ever saw Jesus at all. It says the demon saw Jesus. And after the demon saw Jesus, it responded by doing to the boy what it had always done to the boy. Same result, but this time, different reason. And I believe God brought me from the home of the Kansas City Chiefs to tell somebody in real life church Sacramento that it may look like nothing has changed. It may look like nothing has shifted. Who am I preaching to? I don't need everybody. I just need 50 of y'all. It may look like nothing has shifted. It may look like nothing has changed. The situation may look the same, but God told me to tell somebody that this time it's different. Something has shifted. Something has changed. Breakthrough has come. And Satan is trying to trick you into thinking it's the same stuff that's been happening for years and years. Somebody say it's different this time. It's different this time. It may look the same, but the reason it's different, the demon saw the Son of God coming. The demon saw the one with all authority and power coming and triggered the boy into the same convulsions he had been thrown into before. The text says the boy didn't see Jesus, the demon did. And a lot of you don't even realize, and I'm going to say this, that some of the craziness happening in your life right now is the enemy seeing who's coming even when you can't. Somebody say he's coming. Somebody say he's on the way. I want to tell you this. Please, whatever you do, don't let the devil have better vision for your life than you do. He is fighting you. I'm prophesying to somebody. He's making you want to quit. He's making you want to give up. But the reason he's fighting you so hard now is because if you don't give up, there is something in your future designed to dismantle the works of darkness in the life of your family. And I want to prophesy to 50 of you in here. Where's my 50? That even though it looks like it's getting ready to fall apart, God told me to tell you it's about to work for your good. Listen to this. And so the text says, somebody say the text says.
The text says,
the same thing may have been happening to him, but this time it's for a different reason. The reason the demon manifested in the boy wasn't because the boy was about to die. It was because for the first time, He was actually about to live. Can I tell you this? The devil is not threatened by your fight, watch this, more than he is your freedom. You keep fighting for the wrong version of you. You keep fighting for the successful you when God just wants to free you. You keep fighting for the you with all the clout when God just wants the you that walks in freedom. Because the you that walks in freedom is the you Satan cannot stand. He don't give a care about the rich you. He don't give a care about the cute you. He don't give a care about the plastic surgery BBL you. He don't care if you get likes on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But if you mess around and get free, tell somebody the free you is the dangerous you. Free from opinions is the dangerous you. Free from ridicule is the dangerous you. Free from the patterns in your past is the, somebody say free. Ooh, let's go back to the text. Jesus start asking questions. Jesus started asking questions like he didn't know the answer, but he asked, how long has he been? Has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father in 9:21-22. He replied, since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire and into the water trying to kill him. Now, this is so interesting to me. I want you to see something. The spirit throws him into what? Fire and water. That's interesting. That's interesting. The daddy could have said anything, but he specifies those two elements because those are the two prominent elements the spirit tries to throw him in. So my mind starts thinking, the reason the boy went to fire or water couldn't have been suicidal. He was probably at fire and water for good reasons. Fire, you can cook food, it warms you up. Water, you got to take a bath, you're going to walk around here stinking. But those good reasons turned bad because the thing inside of him took advantage of moments where a good thing can go bad. How many people in here can identify with that? You wanted to benefit from something that was good, but the sin inside of you turned something good that God wanted to use for your good into something that went terribly wrong. Prime example, a relationship. You set boundaries, then you cross them. You decide on the rules, then you break them. Even in marriage, you decided to work on communication until the other person don't communicate the way you want them to communicate. We have the tendency to allow sin to use us to make good things go bad. Now look what the Father says. It says the spirit often throws him in the fire or into the water trying to kill him. The text says the enemy was the one trying to kill him, not the fire or the water. Fire and water are neither good nor evil. We see that the devil didn't succeed in killing him, but if Satan cannot succeed in killing you, he'll settle on destroying your perspective of danger. What do you mean? He will settle on you believing good things are bad things. Now here's where we get serious. I'm sure this boy has been traumatized severely. I'm sure his body is covered in burns. He's probably terrified of water because he's almost drowned in water. So watch this. It may be a struggle, and it may be a process for him to ever view fire and water in a healthy way again. Imagine imagine growing up and every time you're around fire, a demon sees you and you threw you in it. Every time you was trying to take a bath, a demon pulled you under and tried to drown you. Imagine the trauma that that will cause every time you're around water, fire. We have to grasp that Satan will settle on you not being able to honor good things in good places because your entire life, those good things were experienced in bad places. Prime example, sex. Some of you have been so traumatized by your experiences that even the good thing of sex is hard to see as good because you experienced it in so many bad places. There's a married couple here right now who are having issues intimately because of the trauma of your past and that good, great thing that God created. You experienced it in a bad place. Jesus. So what is Jesus dealing with here? Jesus is not just delivering the boy from a demon. He's also dealing with the boy through trauma. And that is a process that would last even after Jesus left. Can I talk to you, Christian? The word will set you free. Instantaneously, the word will set you free. But in the same way freedom is instant, it's also a process. And you can sit in here and you can receive the high of the Holy Spirit and power from community, but sooner or later, you got to leave this place and go home. And so how do you see fire and water at home? Can I help you? So Mark 9:25, we're going to move. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, the scripture says he rebuked the spirit. He said, listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. He said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Amen. Then the spirit says, Jesus is so powerful. Like these moments should encourage our faith like no other. Like Jesus just talks casually to a demon. Like I can just see him. We be screaming and stuff. Father, in the name of Jesus, come out! Come out! Jesus like, listen, you demon. And it described what the demon does, who makes this boy not be able to. Just in case the demon was like, oh, he talking to you. Jesus says, no, I'm specific, you. Who makes this boy come out of him and then gives him instructions, never enter him again. Like, look at the power in that moment. The stuff we be tripping about, Jesus ain't tripping about. Now, we just came from a picture where the disciples are fighting with the crowds because they can't do nothing with the devil. Jesus comes up and says, listen, get out of him and never come back. Okay. So whatever it is you're struggling with, is it a match for Jesus? Is it something too hard for Jesus to handle? Why do we measure hard on our scale? God already tells you, is there anything too hard for me? If I created the world and I created the seas and I opened blind eyes and unstopped deaf ears and I raised the dead, your little bill payment ain't an issue to me. Reminds me of when the disciples were dying on that boat. Remember? We dying. Jesus, you don't care that we dying. Jesus gets up, wipes the sleep out of his eyes, and says, peace.
comma, be still. Scripture says the winds and the waves stopped.
But if you look at the text, the scripture, the Greek word there implies, when it says peace, when it says be still, it implies that the waves stop as if they were tired of beating against the ship. That's the word picture in the Greek. Now imagine that. They're panicking, thinking they're about to die from something that's tired of trying to kill them. Can I preach to somebody in here? The thing you think is trying to kill you is sick of trying to kill you, because every time it tried to kill you, it failed. Lean on somebody and say, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. Jesus stopped the waves, and the waves thanked him for stopping them.
Like, we tired. I knew you weren't about to let them die. They thought they was going to die. We thought it was hilarious, Jesus. Thank you for stopping us.
So it's like we be tripping about, how many of you, don't raise your hand, just tripping about some of the wackest stuff in your life right now. But you have evidence after evidence after evidence that God is faithful, that he's capable, that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask, think, or imagine. And you tripping about something, Jesus is going to look at it and say, listen here.
When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the spirit. He said, listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. He said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as the people said, he is dead. Finally, he dead. But Jesus, I can read that as relief. Like, y'all like, he dead. Oh, poor Joe. They probably was like, he dead. Thank God. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Verse 25. When does the text say Jesus acted? When the crowd was growing. It was already a big crowd, but Jesus didn't act until the crowd was growing. This father was getting ready to get his private prayer answered in this public place. He suffered publicly. He suffered in front of this crowd. He was embarrassed publicly. And God was getting ready to bless him, try not to shout, in front of the same people who witnessed his humiliation. Try not to shout. Where are my 50 people at? God, Jesus said, I ain't acting until I get a crowd. I want to talk to somebody in here who understands that God is getting ready to do his best work in front of, I will prepare a table before you in the, somebody say, in a crowd. So God told me to tell you, this season, I wrote it down, I'm going public.
Why? You ain't trying to stunt. God said, you ain't trying to stunt. You ain't trying to flaunt. You just wanted to be healed. And this is why God's going to stunt for you. The next move that God is going to do in your life is going to be public. Mom and them going to see it. Co-workers going to see it. Haters going to see it. Family going to see it. Friends going to see it. Ain't going to be no, you know them private blessings where you got to tell people what God has done? This ain't going to be that kind of blessing. This going to be one of them blessings where eyes going to be able to see and look at how good God, who am I talking to? Just wave at me real quick.
The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd. He's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, helped him to the feet. The crowd murmured, he's dead. People, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. People who were so used to seeing him in chaos didn't know how to interpret his peace. The presence of Jesus means freedom. And in freedom, there's a peace that will be misinterpreted because it's transformative, not just informative. We be wanting informative peace, peace that simply informs the structures that we have built in our life, peace we and other people can understand. But you know, and this is for you, real life, you know you've received the peace of Jesus when his peace dismantles the ideas of what peaceful should look like.
Pastor, what are you saying?
Because sometimes peace looks like death. The peace you be wanting is the you're dead to me peace. God, just get rid of all my enemies, kill them, get everybody around me. Kill everybody, God, who don't love me, who don't like me. Just get rid of them, God. Just leave me on the island by myself because I can do bad all by myself. I wish I was just by myself. God, give me peace. Get rid of all these people in my house because I want peace. Get all these people off my job because I want peace. You be wanting, you're dead to me, peace. But the peace God want to give you ain't you're dead to me, peace. It's I'm dead to you, peace. Dead to the need you had to respond to every hater in your life. Dead to trying to explain the favor of God on your life. Dead to trying to make everybody else happy around you. Dead to the burden of trying to make them love you. People who thought they knew the old you are going to interpret the peace you have in this season as death.
Somebody say, I'm not dead.
I'm not dead.
I'm free.
I'm free.
I ain't dead. I ain't dead. You think I don't see what you're saying and hear what you're saying and see what you're doing? Just because I'm not responding don't mean I'm dead. I'm free. Your opinions don't matter. I'm free. Your opinions and criticism, your critiques, your expectations, I'm free. So because he wasn't moving, because he was still, they thought he was dead. They thought he was dead because he wasn't moving. He wasn't doing anything, so they interpreted his lack of movement as death. But really, it was peace. And I think that's what Jesus wants for you in this season. Jesus wants you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The stuff that used to get you to react. No, look, I gotta act it out because y'all. I hear what they said. I see what they doing. I know I don't have everything that I want. But for some reason, I'm not reacting like I would have react before the encounter I had with Jesus. I think I'm finally at peace. And that peace looks like stillness. I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to lift your hands. Come on. I want you to lift your hands. And I just want to prophesy over you that it's not what it looks like. This time is different. I know it feels the same. I know it smells the same. I know it looks the same. But this time, it's different. It's different. The what may look the same, but the why is different. This time, Jesus has shown up. Peace has come into your heart. Peace is coming to your mind. Peace is coming to your soul. Peace is coming to your spirit. Come on, just lift those hands and begin to worship God. And even if you want to, you can step out into that aisle and you can come to this altar. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. Just now, come to Jesus, come to Jesus
just now.
Come on up here.
He will save you.
Come on, worship him.
He will save you.
I want you to move. Don't stay in your seat.
He will save you just now. Just now. He will save you. He will save you just now. Only trust him.
Give me a nice run.
Only trust him. Only trust him. Just now. Just now. Only trust him. Only trust him. Just now.
Come on, lift those hands. We're getting ready to pray. All the prayer people, you can go and pray for people if you want. If you're on the prayer ministry team, you can re-release now to go and pray for people. But I want those hands stretched in the air like you want the peace of God. Like you are tired of being alive to the wrong things. I think it's time for you to die to the right things today. I think you need to get the revelation that the thing that's troubling you is tired of troubling you. It's sick and tired of troubling you. And it really is just waiting on you to stop panicking and just receive peace. Jesus. Come on, worship, 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 worship. Worship, worship, worship. Come on, just worship him. If you're at this altar, some people are walking by. They're going to pray with you, but I want your mouth open. Like you don't need nobody to put their hands on you except for Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on.
We trust you.
It's different this time. Jesus is in it this time. Come on. It's not what it looks like. Come on, I think the Lord wants to heal bodies. Any cancer diagnosis. I don't care what the report said this time. It's not what it looks like. It's not what it looks like. This time is different. I don't care what they said. This time is different.
Peace.
Come on.
I speak peace.
I speak peace.
Peace of the Lord.
person who recently lost a relative, and all of the assets are being tied up and being fought over by family. It's being fought over by family. It's very heartbreaking for you, because it's really not about the possessions or the money for you. And it's being fought over by the family. I don't know if it's in probate. I don't know if it's in, I just know that I see like possessions just being fought over. It's her. Listen, you came here today to hear this word, whatever your name is. It's peace. Be still. Don't fight anybody. Don't fuss with anybody. Don't argue with anybody. The Lord Himself is going to fight for you. And everything He has purposed for you to have, you will have. Don't argue. Don't let them get you out of character. Don't let them pull you into depression and deeper into grief. The Lord is going to fight on your behalf. We got a couple of minutes and I'm getting ready to go, but I just want us to lift our hands again. I also want to pray for the couple who's been married a very long time. Very, very long time. You've overcome a lot of obstacles, but you've reached a place where you're almost ashamed to say you're having marriage issues. It's almost like a shame. You feel like you shouldn't have these issues because you've been such a help to others. You've been such a voice to others, and you poured into others. It's like you've come upon this season. It's like all of a sudden it's just hit you. It's like you're not hearing him and he not hearing you, and y'all fight more than you used to, and you've been married a long time. It's a long time. But I think the Spirit of God wants to tell you that there's no need for shame, for the simple fact that you've been an anchor for so many. You are just in a season where you're going to need the same support you've been given. It's called kingdom. So you shouldn't be ashamed. Like, time doesn't eliminate trial. No matter how old or how long you've been in something, trials will come. And I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you wherever you are. I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you. Is it just you? You're the one God showed me. I'm glad that's more to you, but it was you. It was you. Is your husband here? Where is he? It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. That is okay. Listen, let me tell you. I've been married 17 years. I always forget. But it's marriage is a thing. Like, it's something. It's just something. And I want you guys to know that it's just a spiritual attack. That's what it is. And you stand over there with them. Stand over there with them. It is a spiritual attack. It is. It is a spiritual attack because you've been such an anchor to so many. It's almost like the enemy is trying to, like, it's not like the blow's gonna work. It's like I see him like hitting out of frustration. Like, I'm so sick of him. Just boom, let me hit him and just walk away. That's kind of how this is. But I speak peace over your union. I speak peace over your home, over your marriage. And this next leg of marriage is gonna be sweeter than the former. That this attack is just a little minuscule punk attack from the devil. because he's so frustrated at your faith. He's so frustrated at the couples you've helped pull up out of pits and pray over. He's so angry, he just had to hit you and move. But with this hit and this prophetic word God gave me, he didn't know that he just hit the activation button on some blessings that have been held up for 20 years. They've been held up in your heart, in your home, and even in your legacy. I see family members coming to faith after this hit. Let me tell you, he done hit family members to faith. That God is getting ready to open the doors of legacy, and family members that you've been praying for are going to come to faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, can we give God praise? If there's anybody watching me right now that doesn't know the Lord, or anybody in this room, I want to lead you to Jesus. Come on, let's pray this prayer. Just say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I confess my sin. I believe Jesus is Lord. I believe he died for me. I believe he was buried. And on the third day, he resurrected with all power in his hands. And because of that, I have a right relationship by faith with the Father. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Somebody say, it's not what it looks like. Say, it's not what it looks like.
Thank you again for joining us. We pray that message ministered to your heart and lifted your spirit today. Hey, to find out more about joining the RLC online family, you can find us on the Church Center app. You can also subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. God bless you.